Greetings, greetings, and welcome once again to another episode of Mafia Wife Life. It is me, you know, your girl, Mafia Wife. Thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of Mafia Wife Life. You know, as I say, if you're a regular listener, that sometimes I really don't know what my topic is that I'm going to speak about. And yet I feel that there's something, you know, hovering that is on my mind. I've been continuing my work on my manuscript, and it has taken me so long to figure out how to do it. And I know I've spoken about this before, and I think that I have said I've had to write 250,000 words before I understood what I needed to say and what and how I needed to say it. You know, a life is made up of so many experiences, so many thoughts, so many people, and, you know, so many things. Obviously, positive, negative, it's just these are the things that make up a life. And so, you know, having never written a memoir before, which I thought of as very indulgent, I thought that it had to have a sequence to it. It had to have a beginning and a middle and an end. But having written those essays the way that I had, and that was advised by a friend of mine, he said, you don't sit down and write a memoir. What you do is you sit down and you write memories and small essays. And then what happens is that they just pile up, and then you realize that there is a book. And so I took that advice to heart, and I just kept writing and writing with no regard to order or anything else. But when I was doing that, you know, I was aware of the fact that what I was doing was writing. I was writing, but I could not get to that place in my mind that I knew I needed to get to, which was, you know, write in my own voice, not write with that awareness that I was actually writing. Over the years, you know, when I've been in the company of different people, you know, I would just be talking and they would start laughing, and I would be surprised. I'm like, what are you laughing at? You know, and they would say, it's Katie, it's how you talk. It's, you know, and I'm like, what do you mean how I talk? And it had happened so frequently that I accepted it as their experience, and okay, it's how I talk, but I only talk how I think, you know. I don't have words come out of my mind or come out of my mouth that I haven't, quote, thought about. But what I recognize what I was doing was that I was not editing, you know, I was not having these thoughts and then having these words and then self-editing in between. So I was talking to the Godfather about this, like why that was a challenge, you know, how come when I talk, I sound like myself, but when I write, I sound like I'm not talking, but I sound like I'm writing. And he said, well, maybe you should just record on your voice notes and then transcribe. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I started doing that, but that wasn't really it. And then I thought, you know, maybe I should hire a ghostwriter and I can just tell these stories to, and they can put it together, you know, as a narrative, as, you know, in the form of a manuscript, a memoir. And so I asked my friend about it, who, you know, is widely accomplished, very experienced, has published over 30 novels in however many languages and two memoirs. And he said, are you crazy? you know, why would you do that? You know, you have to write it. That's the challenge. That's the fun. That's the blah, blah, blah. And I was like, shit. Okay. So I took those 250,000 words and I understood what my problem was, that I had to separate myself from the writing somehow. And I had to just somehow find a way to do what they say as a writer is to find your voice. And I always thought that was bullshit, you know, because if anybody's writing, they're already, you know, writing in their voice, but that's not true. If you sit down and you try to write something, say you write an essay about what you did in the last 7 days, I challenge you to do that, because if you went back and read it, it would sound like, you know, you were writing. And so there was that conscious thing that I needed to let go of. And so that is what I'm talking about here, that all of these incarnations that I have experienced in this process, none of it has been a waste of time. It has all been learning. But in that process of learning, I've been in the middle of doing so many other parts of my life, which is, you know, being the mother of 4 children, being the grandmother of 5 grandchildren, being married to Zygod's father, designing these different real estate projects, and just, you know, that's life, and being in a band. And I had, you know, so much of my life to live while I was, you know, writing this quote memoir. And the writing was not my full-time pursuit. The writing was something that I did when I had everything else taken care of. And I was always so happy, you know, to have anything and everything get in the way of the writing, because the writing was so damn hard. But finally, I found my way and I found what they say is one's voice. And I realized I had been shackled by what I believed were the rules of a manuscript, and that is starting at the beginning and then going to the middle and then the end. But that's not how you have to do it. You know, time is fluid, memory is fluid. And I never really understood what that meant when people said they take creative license. But that is also so powerful, because I can, I remember one time reading, you know, a particular poem that this friend had written. And, you know, I asked him about it. I said, I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that that had happened. And he goes, well, it didn't really happen that way. He said, it was really more of a composite. I was pulling experiences from different times and I put it together as one thing. And I thought, zam, okay. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that. Okay. But, you know, I didn't know that those things were possible when it came to voice as it pertained to memoir. You know, so once I put that together and I realized that I had that freedom to build and create, you know, to create scenes that were not necessarily linear, but they pulled from different experiences, that helped me blast off like a rocket, you know. So my friend had said, you know, you need to send me, you know, your writing samples. I will help you edit. And I was like, no, no, no. You know, and there was a lot of reasons I said no. And, you know, part of it is that I'm a shy person. People don't believe me when I say I'm shy, but I am, in fact, a shy person. And it's really that I don't like to let people, you know, I'm not an open book. I don't mind sharing certain parts of myself with people that I choose to share things with. But I, you know, if I say something, I stand behind it. And I have no problem standing behind things that I say. But I choose that, you know. I don't want, you know, just because I choose to say things and I stand behind what I say, that doesn't mean that I'm an open book 24/7, you know, and that I'm cool with, you know, everybody knowing every single thing about me. I control what I want to share. So, you know, so I wasn't sure about, you know, about sharing things that I had written because it felt very personal, but it wasn't just what happened that I was writing about, but it was how I was describing what happened. And so, you know, my friend recognized this immediately because we've had an ongoing correspondence over the years, and he's known me long enough to know how I think, how I speak, how I'm not writing, but I'm just sort of talking off the cuff. But I'm having to use words because, you know, we're communicating often via the written word. So, you know, he sort of recognized that separation between, you know, my true voice and my quote writing voice. So when he was giving me that feedback, I was like, damn, you know, and I knew he was right, but I still could not find my way. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened or how it happened or when exactly it happened, but it did happen, you know, and I found myself, I guess it was when I let myself understand that, you know, creative freedom was involved in this endeavor. I think that that's really what made me take flight. And so eventually I sent him probably the first 50 plus pages because he had convinced me that, you know, he had convinced me to do that and that, you know, he wanted to edit, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So I just sent it, you know, and I had no expectation about, you know, what feedback I would get. And, you know, I was in, was it last week? I think it was last week that I got the feedback, or maybe it was the week before. I think it was, I don't know, it was either last week or the week before. Last week I was in Florida, the Sunshine State, with the Godfather. He had some business down in Amelia Island, which is on the Atlantic side. I knew where we were going. We had been there before. He said, "Do you want to come?" And I said, "Yeah." So I went, and then he said, "Let's extend it and let's go over to the Gulf for a few days. You know, it's going to be your birthday." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, that sounds good." So I think it was when he was in some of his meetings that I had gotten the feedback on the, you know, the 50 pages that I had sent. And I was stunned. You know, he said, you know, here's the edits on your manuscript. You know, I don't think you know how good it is. And, you know, he said, I have read hundreds of memoirs and I've written two. And using the old scale of 1 to 10, I'd say this is a solid 8. You just need to continue. You have found your voice and keep it up, and you've got a saleable manuscript. So I was very, very surprised to get that feedback, because like everything else that I have done creatively, I did not go to fucking school for it. I never went to, you know, art school. I never went to design school. I never went to architecture school. I never went to cooking school or, you know, creative writing school or anything, you know, but I have, you know, I have had impact in those categories, but, you know, I knew that I was submitting something at a particular level. And yeah, you're damn right, bitch. I didn't expect that feedback at all. But, you know, it gave me, you know, a feeling of joy, you know, and of satisfaction. And I was so grateful, you know, for those notes. And I was so grateful for that feedback. I was grateful for any feedback. But to have finally, you know, I knew it in myself that I had found my voice, but to have had it received that I had found my voice, you know, from a sort of a literary critic, you know, that meant something to me. So last week was my birthday. And it was so fabulous, you know, being with the Godfather and, you know, hearing from loved ones, you know, my children, their spouses, friends, you know, longtime associates, neighbors, you know, my sister Mary, my brother Paul. All of it was fabulous, you know, and the Godfather and I were over on the Gulf, and we were staying in a section of the Gulf that's south of Desden. It's known as 30A, and within that 30A pocket, there are little communities, and one of the communities is called Rosemary Beach, and I had read about it. And I had seen photos, and I thought, this is kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind checking this out. So when the Godfather said, do you want to extend? Where would you like to go? And I said, I don't know. I'm kind of interested in Rosemary Beach. Maybe we can go there. So we did. And it's so great that we went there. When we were on Amelia Island, we were on the Atlantic side. And then when we drove over to the Gulf where Rosemary Beach was, you know, that's on the other side of the state. And then we flew home from there, and then we celebrated my birthday here with my girls, my grandkids, and their spouses, and Mary. And it was so sweet. You know, I'm a cheap date, bitches. No, I'm not a cheap date anymore. I used to be a cheap date. I used to accept anything, but I don't accept anything anymore. And I'm not talking about, you know, displays of, you know, grandeur. I'm talking about what's acceptable in terms of humanity. I used to accept anything. I had a very low bar. That doesn't exist anymore. But when I say I'm a cheap date, I'm talking about I love a damn Bubba Burger on the grill. I love crinkle fries with tons of salt. And I love a salad. And I love a simple cake with ice cream. And as far as I'm concerned, that is my birthday every year. I love when my birthday is, you know, the dawn of spring. You know, what we've done in my family for years is go around the table and everybody says what they love about so-and-so, whoever's birthday it is. That's my favorite part of my birthday. It's my favorite part of everybody's birthday. And, you know, the touching tributes, you know, that I hear, but also the really simple gifts, you know, the handmade cards, the painted flower pots. You know, Ella made me a shirt, you know, that was kind of like a branding of Sugar Pines, this new property. And you know, she said, where even the thorns are roses, you know, because that's something that we do is rose and thorn after a family meal. But, you know, it was so touching to hear everybody's tributes. I mean, I just loved it. And one of the tributes was, what I most love about Katie is that she's not afraid to be Katie. You know, I can't tell you what that meant to me. And I think that's very, very powerful. And I was very grateful. Anyway, when we were down in Rosemary Beach, You know, when I, when I travel with the Godfather, what we have always done from the very beginning of when I knew him, what we've always done is ride bikes together, and we like to check out the area. We like to, you know, we like to see where we're at, typically by riding bikes. So that was the same thing that we were doing here at Rosemary Beach. And, you know, there were really charming houses, and a lot of the houses had carriage houses sort of connected to them. And on the upper part of the garages were these little carriage houses that had these sweet little balconies. This new project that we're developing, Sugar Pines, has stables, has a pole barn. We're designing a house, we're designing a barn, but we were, you know, talking about the stables and, you know, creating a stable apartment, you know, to have, which is basically a carriage house. So, you know, I said to the Godfather, you know, we need to take pictures of this because this could work in this context, this could work. And, you know, we were saying, gosh, we've been riding bikes, looking at properties for over 40 years. We've been inspired by properties for over 40 years, you know. And then this trip, you know, on my 62nd birthday, I met him when I was 20 or 21. You know, here we are, and we're saying, yeah, we should do that. We should do that. You know, so to go to a place and, you know, spend time, you know, without too much of a schedule and let inspiration, you know, come over us is exciting. And it's always good to be inspired. You know, I did hear from everybody except for the people that I did not hear from. And, you know, so let's see, I heard from 2 siblings. That means I didn't hear from 10. Great. I don't expect to. I don't contact them on their birthdays, you know. To not hear from one's mother on one's birthday is a very unique experience. You know, no matter who you hear from, you're still kind of aware, not kind of aware, you're aware that you haven't heard from your mother. And does it ruin my birthday? No. But is it something that I pretend doesn't happen? No, because it does happen. And I think that's true weakness. You know, I can't text my mother happy birthday because she's got me blocked. And I am not going to send a birthday card to somebody that has blocked me, because if somebody has me blocked, then that means they don't want to hear from me. So I get it, message received, but I don't have my mother blocked, you know, and yet she doesn't wish her own offspring happy birthday, which is bizarre to me, and it's weak, and it's despicable, you know, and I used to let it hurt me. Now, you know, it probably does hurt me on some very primitive level, but I think more I try to find a way to understand it, you know, as what it is, as a weakness, you know. And I think, you know, I have 4 daughters, and if I blocked one of my daughters, I would never expect them to send me a birthday card. I mean, I would, you know, if I block them, that would mean I wouldn't want to hear from them. But, you know, I would never block them. And even if, you know, I don't really know what I did to these people, what they think I did to these people. But, you know, even if one of my own daughters, let's say they killed somebody, they murdered somebody, whatever they did that was considered bad, which I did not do anything on that level, don't know what I did, I would still wish them happy birthday because they're still human beings. They're still my children, you know, supposedly, you know, I called my mother a liar. I never said, you're a liar. I don't want to say that my mother's a liar. But if my mother is lying, when somebody is lying, you know, that's what they are. They're a liar. But I didn't say you're a liar. I said, you're lying. You're lying, and you know you're lying. And I could go down that rabbit hole if I wanted to, but I don't want to right now. But what I know is we got back Friday evening, and then on Saturday, we went with one of our daughters and our son-in-law and their two little ones to look at a development that they're interested in potentially building a house in. And, you know, so it was really nice to experience that with them. And we learned a lot. And of course, we have experience, and we were sharing with them what our thoughts were. And we've lived in our neighborhood for 28 years now in June and have never, ever, ever regretted it. Yes, we're ready to move on to this next project. But, you know, where we moved and why we moved here, we don't regret it. So, you know, my daughter says yesterday, she says, you know, do you want to go over there tomorrow? You know, we'll meet and walk around and we'll walk along the nature trail. And I'm like, yep. So I went over to get my little grandson, Banks, because my daughter, Gracie, works at home on Mondays. And sometimes I take him out on Monday mornings. And I said, you know, I hadn't been able to see him on the last few Monday mornings because I had had my rotator cuff surgery. And I knew that I was not able to lift him. But I'm progressing from that now. I said, I'll go get Banks and we will meet over there, you know. And she said, fine. And yesterday, everybody had come over for my birthday, and Woods, her oldest, wanted to sleep over. I'm like, yeah, you can sleep over. You want to sleep over, Woodsy? You sleep over. We'll get together with your mommy in the morning, and that was our plan. So we met there in the morning. This morning, it was like 9:15, and when I arrived, my daughter was talking to this site agent, and I didn't know who that was. And when I pulled up, she hands me the phone. She's like, hey, mom, you know, this is Liz. She says she knows you. She says something about Anne. And so I was like, oh, I thought it was my friend Liz DeCerny from high school. And we were friends with a girl named Anne Miller. And coincidentally, I had seen Anne Miller not too long ago when Claire and I had gone in to get some pieces for riding, and she with her husband owns a shop that sells things for riding and a lot of other things, like some on consignment, some new, boots, you know, jackets, whatever. So that was a couple of weeks ago that I had run into Anne, and I thought, how interesting that I would be hearing from Liz. What a coincidence, what a small world. So I, you know, Claire handed me the phone and I picked up the phone and I said, hey, Liz DeCerny, I can't believe it. I just saw Ann Miller a couple of weeks ago. She goes, no, it's not, you know, Liz DeCerny, it's Liz Allen. And I've never thought of Liz Allen as Liz because I knew her as Beth Wright. But for whatever reason, she changed her name from Beth to Liz. And I know people do that, but I'm always a little suspicious of such things. But anyway, so she's like, oh, I saw your sisters, you know, spent, you know, blah, 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 4 days with them, you know, look, you know, and I'm like, what? And I said, okay. And she's like, yeah, you know, your sister, what's her name? Christine. And I'm like, I don't know, Chrissy. And she's like, yeah. And your other sister, she's a nurse. And I was like, Joan. And she's like, yeah, you know, and Anne's husband, what's his name? And I said, Pete. I said, what'd you guys do? Did you get together at my mom's? Because she said 4 days and I was confused. I was like, what are you guys, like homies to the point that you're going to go somewhere together? And she said, no, she goes, we were looking at real estate and, you know, they found a place, this and that, you know, and they didn't write a contract. And I'm thinking to myself, no shit. They never fucking pull the trigger. you know, I hope you're not wasting your time. But I didn't say any of that stuff. And I thought, I don't really like her telling me things either, because I don't like to know anything that people don't tell me themselves, you know, even though people say that, you know, that that's what I do. It's actually not what I do, but I do know for a fact that that is what other people do, because other people know where my property is, what I am doing with it, what the names of my grandchildren are. And I think it's fucking weird. I really think it's weird that people know these things about us, and yet I've never told them. So anyway, I was like, all right, well, talk to you later. You know, I'm here with Claire. We're going to walk around the nature trail. And she's like, okay, bye. So then I said to Claire, what's up with that? She's like, I didn't know. You know, she said she found out, you know, of course, my daughter's last name is Frazier. Somehow, you know, I guess Liz was saying, well, you know, how old are you and how old are your kids? And, you know, how long have you been around here? And somehow, I guess in the conversation, Claire had said that her last name was her last name. And so I guess that's why Liz said, when she talked to me, she's like, I knew there wasn't that many more Gorman Loves out here. I was like, yeah. What I did not like was that Claire had said that this Liz had said, who is your lender, right? And when it comes to things like that, I understand that a real estate agent, you know, sort of needs to get certain types of information. But Claire had not gone down that path, had not committed to this person, was only trying to get information about the development. And I did not like this person knowing anything about my children's business, my business, my husband's business, because I knew that this person had just shared this really strange information with me, you know, about them looking at properties and where they found a property. And I'm like, ooh, it just gave me the ick. It made me feel really icky. And I don't care what other people do, but I don't want to know what other people do unless they share it with me. And so I thought, you know, I don't roll with anybody. I mean, people don't know what I do unless I share. And so she said, what are you up to? She goes, where are you living? Are you still living there? And I said, yeah, we lived there 28 years in June. I said, but we've just, you know, bought another property. And she said, where? And I don't care if she knows where that property is. I'm happy to tell her. And I said, do you know such and such? And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we bought that. I said, but we're taking the house down. And I said, it's a little too Graceland for us, you know, or Dallas. And, you know, people don't really understand why we take property down. You know, we don't always take property down. If we like it, you know, if it suits us, why would we take it down? But if it doesn't suit us, why would we keep it? You know, so I said, yeah, I'm in the process of designing the new house and the new barn. But, you know, once that's complete, you know, then we'll sell our house and we'll relocate over there. When I got off the phone, I told Claire, I don't want you doing business with this person. I don't want anybody knowing our business. And she understood. And I said, let me call Daddy. And I called him immediately and I told him what happened. And he said the same thing that I did. He said, no way. You know, when it comes to our business, particularly how we operate in business, you know, we are not going to deal with somebody who thinks it's appropriate to share information with other people. I mean, I find it very awkward that she shared that. And, you know, so it, like I say, it gave me the ick. It's like, I don't want to fucking know this shit, you know? And then to hear that, oh, they don't write a contract. Liz, honey, don't waste your time. You know, don't waste your time. And then I think, I don't want to know that they're such, it's uncomfortable and embarrassing to know that they're such amateurs. You know, they have no experience, you know, in real estate in this area. I'm not saying they should contact us, because I don't want them to contact us, nor would I ever expect them to contact us. But, you know, when I hear about certain things that happened, like when they're hiring, when another sister hires a caregiver for my mother and says something like, oh, we'd want you to sweep the floor. And the caregiver says, sweep the floor, sweep the floor. I'm not sweeping the floor. And the sister says, okay, you know, that's not how it's done. You don't hire people like that. And you don't hire somebody to manage your real estate transactions just because you knew them, 45, 50 years, you know, however many years ago in high school. You know, you don't pick your fucking OBGYN because they're a runner, and then you dumped them at 8 months. It's just fucking stupid. I don't get it. And I don't like it. I don't like being, you know, sort of adjacent, knowing these things because I used to know these people, or because I know people who have had experiences with these people currently. It's awkward, you know. I know people are paying attention to our moves. I know that they know where we've purchased, what we're doing, but I don't want them to know the particulars of what my loved ones are doing unless I share it. So anyway, I was going to read part of my manuscript, but I will save that for another day. In the meantime, I will wish you all adieu, and I will say TTYL.